We've got a new feature on BizNews, which tracks South African shares. And due to a member of our community asking us, we have year-to-date performance. And top of the pops, well, there's been a two-horse race for the past few weeks between WeBuyCars and Altron. WeBuyCars is up 97.5% for the year-to-date. But Altron, after interims came out recently, is now 107.8%. So it leads the list. CEO Werner Kapp is with us. That's impressive, Werner. 107.8% year to date. The market loves you. The results that came out were also very pleasing. That bumped the share up a little bit further. But is this just telling us that it's taken a while for people to appreciate your appeal as a stock to invest in?
Alec, firstly, thank you very much for having me. Also, by the way, I'm great to be in such company because WeBuyCars is actually a key business partner of ours. So it's nice to be in a competitive environment with them. Alec, I do think so. I think, you know, when I arrived at Altron about 2 years ago, what I found was a business that I felt was underappreciated. I felt that we had great solutions that really solve real world problems for our customers and for the country. A blue chip customer list, you know, sort of great people. And at the time, I said, folks, I feel that we're the best kept secret in the market. You know, why didn't I know all of that before I worked for Altron? So I think a part of it is telling that story better to our customers. Obviously, we've been executing in a fairly disciplined manner, I'd like to think, over the last 18 months on this strategy to be the leading platform and IT services company. I'm delighted that the market is rewarding that performance.
It's still very cheap, though, if you take a line through Karoo, which owns Cartrack, because you own Netstar. Now, Cartrack's pretty much their business. Netstar is one of your businesses. And Karoo is listed in America. Its market value is $2 billion, give or take 30, what's that about? Well, 30 billion rand at least. Your market value is only 8.5 billion rand. So when you look at, you compare the two, but what am I missing here? What's the difference? Is Netstar really that much smaller than Cartrack?
Like, I think it's a good question. I mean, as you know, always difficult for a kind of CEO to comment on market capitalization or how the market values your business. Karoo, obviously Cartrack, very good company. We compete with them in the same market. I think, but maybe part of the challenge has been historically, you know, you talk about the market starting to appreciate the Altron business more. I speak about it not being the best kept secret anymore. That's why we've, you know, been quite distinct about talking about the platform side of our business and talking about the IT services part of our business. So, maybe it's an understanding issue, but it's really nice to see that the market is starting to appreciate that more.
I guess the obvious issue is, would you not list Netstar separately? If you've seen the success that Cartrack has had in its naming or in its title of being Karoo, surely it's a great business. It's growing at over 20% a year. It's mostly subscription, nearly 2 million people who pay every month to be on that platform. We know investors love that kind of cash flow, annuity cash flow that comes in. Is that something that ever is raised in the boardroom?
I get asked that question quite a lot. I mean, obviously, our job as a management team is to maximize value for our shareholders from the portfolio of companies that we hold. I mean, we put this strategy in place 18 months ago when we put out the profit improvement strategy in place for Netstar specifically and for our Altron Systems integration business. We didn't have a view at the time that we wanted to unlock value in any of the specific businesses. And, you know, we've been fortunate to be able to string together some decent performances on the back of that and for the market to reward us. But to your point, we go through an annual review of the business. We look at our capital allocation strategies, and if we feel that that will maximize more value for our shareholders than our current returns, then that is something that we would consider.
And that's what it's all about in a seat that you're occupying, is the allocation of capital. Altron has always been a company, or not always, but it's been a company. It's an old company. It's been around for a long time. but with many distinct units, different parts, which appear to be given entrepreneurial drives and running their own in their own pathways. How do you guys, when you sit down as a management team, decide on where to put your capital into which one of those units?
Very good question. I mean, we've obviously simplified our operating model, I think, you know, quite a lot over the last sort of 2 to 5 years. We've divested from a lot of our non-core assets, and we're very focused now on our platform and IT services assets in what we believe are, you know, what we look for is we want to be in high growth areas and obviously areas where we believe our technology solutions can help differentiate us in those areas and obviously drive growth. The model is very much federated. You know, we very much look towards the MDs of those businesses. I like your word entrepreneurial. I really encourage that entrepreneurial culture. You would have heard me speak a lot about customer obsession, and I think you've got to leave the decision making in the hands of the people that are closest to the customers. The way we look at it from a group perspective is there's really three roles that the group plays in that. I mean, one of them is brand. You know, I do think it is important that we manage the brand at a group level. The second one is just making sure that we manage customer lifecycle across our different businesses. And then the last one is allocation of capital. The way we look at allocation of capital is first and foremost, we always look at deploying capital into our organic business. You know, if you look at, for example, some of the results that we came out with now, we spoke about 330 million rands of our CapEx is growth CapEx. The majority of that going into the NetStar business, really in the in the devices that we put into the car. So we look at what do we believe are those high growth areas that we think there's a lot of runway, and then we first and foremost allocate capital into our organic business. You know, anything that will help differentiate us and help us grow market share, and then from that point forward, we start looking at some of what we call the platform ecosystems, the additional opportunities. I think you might have seen that we've invested in this oncology solution in our health tech business.
So tell us more about that one. We do know that cancer is becoming an ever greater plague on society in the health tech business. Where exactly are you putting that money?
So what we've done is we've really partnered with a leading oncologist to create a patient app. What we're trying to do is really, you know, cancer obviously puts besides the physical and emotional burden on the, on the patient, it puts a significant stress psychologically and financially on the family as well. And it's quite a complicated disease to be able to, to be able to manage, the life cycle from visits to treatments to follow-ups to your medicine. So what that app really does is it helps the patient manage the life cycle or the family to help manage the life cycle of that treatment better to really be able to take that burden off the individuals throughout this terrible disease.
That's interesting. You talk about being a platform business. Explain that.
So the way we look at the platform business is really a business that is subscription-based. In other words, we use our own IP and software that we've developed. Obviously, we'll partner with people sometimes to do it, and you build a platform business that is essentially scalable. So I think that's the first key hallmark of that platform business. So it's really a business that is volume-driven. So if you look at that NetStar business, if you look at our fintech business, if you look at our health tech business, you get high levels of annuity. And then you get a high margin profile as you start to get more subscribers onto that platform. Because, I mean, essentially, you know, obviously you'll be in an investment cycle around those platforms, as I referred to earlier on when you spoke about capital allocation. But what's really nice is as you start to get more scale, you know, more subscribers, more volume onto those businesses, then obviously that's where you start to see your margins scale. And then the second part of it is really the network effects that you can get in that platform business. So what you can do over time is you can open up that platform to other users to be able to come onto your platform, whether it is to add value-added services to your current customer base. And then as you start to do that, that's where you start to get into this really cool data and artificial intelligence stuff, because the richness of the data that is available for you to be able to use that data to get into other industries become bigger.
When did the change come at Altron? Because this is a business model that many people would love to have evolved into. And Ultron, going back to when Bill Fenter started it, 60, 70 years ago, was very much a different kind of a business, one which was moving product, if you like. When did that switch come where you became aware of the massive value of the automated customer, as he and she are often called nowadays?
I think the change firstly started probably around 2016, 2017, when my predecessor Mdletshe took over the business. I think that's when that journey of disposing of a lot of those non-core industrial type assets and really becoming a focused technology company, I think that's when that journey really started. You know, I think COVID, the impacts of that really, intensified that journey for us. And as this concept of platform economics, and also, now you're starting to see the proliferation of AI and data started, we've really accelerated that process over the last 2 to 3 years. You know, if you look at some of these businesses like FinTech, for example, the really good results we've had is really attributed to the SME business, which is now about 80% annuity business. You know, we've been on that strategy for about 10 years. So I think really, really started during that focused investment in being a technology company, not being in the industrials anymore. And I think then that evolution has really continued for us over the last 2 to 3 years.
I mentioned Bill Fenter. Is he still taking an active interest in the business?
No, I think Bill stepped down, if memory serves me correctly, as executive chairman around about that time, around about 2016, 2017. I mean, the family are obviously still shareholders, but no, Bill's not actively involved in the business.
All right, and we all mourned the passing of your former CEO, Robbie Fenter. His brother, Craig, is he at all involved?
Yeah, firstly, it was a really terrible. I mean, I work very closely with Robbie. I mean, he was obviously on our board. I refer to him as an officer and a gentleman, one of the more kinder people I've met, and always willing to lend a helping hand. Craig is not involved in the business. No, I think he's a very interested observer. I actually got an email from him earlier today, congratulating us on the results.
Yeah, Robbie was certainly played a huge role in the building of Ultron to where it is today. But I guess, Werner, from your perspective, you've got a wonderful vehicle in the company that as it currently exists. And the question from shareholders would be, okay, so now we get it. You're no longer this big, heavy industrial company that we remember you used to be. You're now in the tech area. You seem to be well positioned with AI and other kinds of opportunities that are availing themselves. How are you going to take advantage of that?
Yeah, very good question. Like, I mean, the way we look at it in our platform and our IT services businesses is, really making sure that we differentiate ourselves with our customers. So we think that's a really, really big opportunity for us. The second one is to really drive up our annuity business. So, really focus on profitable revenue growth. If we move that stack more towards annuity, then you're obviously also getting into higher margin, longer term context. Ultimately, you add more value to the customer. If you look at some of the examples I spoke about in our Ultron Digital business, we brought three businesses together because really that was, almost on customer request. Our customers saw more value in doing more business with us across, a bigger technology solution stack. So I really think it is about, remaining customer obsessed and ensuring that we capitalize on the investments that we're making in our solutions to stay relevant. And then we're making a lot of investments in our delivery people, in the people selling to our customers, in our brand and our marketing. So I think if we continue to execute on that, it should really set us on the road for, continued sustainable success. And I think you've seen that, that was, for example, one of the reasons why we felt we wanted to upgrade our, medium-term guidance. Previously, when we first set this strategy in place about 18 months ago, You know, we targeted 1.1 billion rands worth of profit from our continued operations by FY26. And because of what I think has been a fairly disciplined execution of this strategy, we've been able to upgrade that guidance that we're now targeting 1.15 billion rands worth of profit from our continuing operations by the end of FY26.
Now, the numbers are excellent. It's not often you see a dividend being raised 60% as you did for the 6 months to end August. And your like-for-like, or I suppose your core business, when you take out those businesses that you are getting out of, headline earnings per share up 50%. That's good. These are really good numbers. But at some point in time, presumably, it has to normalize. For you guys, what is a normal, sustainable level of profitable growth?
I think it's really reflected in that guidance that we've, you know, that we've given. You know, we see that as the sustainable growth path in our business in the medium term.
But what number is that? 20% plus? Still an exponentially growing operation?
I mean, if you look at the medium term guidance, that gives us about and the sort of numbers we've had now. You referenced it in our continuing operations. You're looking at about that sort of 20% mark, yeah.
And that is an extraordinary performance if you can do it year after year in the long term. Have you got that much runway that makes you confident that you can keep delivering?
Look, I think we always got to get that balance between obviously short and medium term and earnings and longer term. You know, that's why we look at our business through this lens of what we call Horizon 1, 2, and 3. So we call it accelerated growth and transformative growth. You know, and that's why the guidance really is that medium term guidance. I think it's always difficult, particularly in technology, obviously, to be able to look kind of 3 or 5 years years outwards. But that's why we try and get that balance right in the business. You know, make sure that we deliver on earnings in the short term whilst making investments for the longer term. You know, I spoke about the investments that we're making. For example, if you look at Netstar, you know, we think there's still market growth in the South African market. But we really want to grow into that managed services enterprise segment, which is quite attractive. And that's why we're really focusing on our big data as a service offering. It's difficult to look beyond sort of 2-3 years in this game, but I mean we obviously hope that if we continue to deliver and invest in the right things, you know, we can continue to deliver sustainable earnings.
What kind of person should be investing in Altron? It's not a trick question, because you do have traders and you have widows and orphans. Where would you put the given the area of focus that you have? What kind of investor would be most comfortable with you?
I think we see ourselves as a growth stock. I mean, you know, because of the performance that we've been fortunate to have and the fact that we've got a healthy balance sheet, we have been able to increase our dividend. But I think in the technology market, and considering you know, the fact that we feel we're quite well positioned in it, I think it should be a growth. I think it should be a growth investor.
And it's this compound annual growth rate of 20% plus that would be appealing to somebody who's prepared to put the stock, because it's at a nearly 19 times price to earnings ratio. It's not cheap anymore, that's for sure. But in a few years' time, if you can keep growing at over 20%, well, then it does look cheap on today's value. So really where I'm getting to is it's the kind of person who says, I believe these guys have got a lot of runway. They are going to be growing faster than most other companies. Just put the investment in the bottom drawer and return to it maybe in a few years' time.
Yeah, I think your focus is always going to be long-term, right? I mean, if you look at our long-term focus, we talk about maximizing value for our shareholders. And I think that focus is always on sustainable earnings. You know, that's why I kind of always go back to this profitable revenue growth, high annuity business, because that gives you sort of the predictability of earnings. It gives you the ability to be able to make longer term investment decisions and get that scale flywheel effect in the business.
Well, we look forward to finding out from you what is next for Netstar. How big a slug is it of the Altron group now?
It's about 20% of our revenue.
So it just tells you that's if you make a direct comparison with Cartrack and Netstar, then look at your market cap and look at the market value that's been afforded by NASDAQ, by the American investors, to Cartrack. It's got to be irresistible for you to be talking about that as a board sometime into the future. Werner Kapp is the chief executive of Altron. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.